to say the house of the Lord, because you are the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But aren't you happy to be collected together to worship? All right, so we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll have a short, right after the word of prayer, we'll have a short video, and then we'll get into the song portion of our worship. And then we have a good testimony this morning, all right? Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, then join me in prayer. Father, we come to this place because of you. Lord, we come to this place by you. And so, Father, with that being first and foremost mentioned, Lord, let this be for you. And so we ask that, Lord, our worship, that our praise would be worthy and acceptable. And so, Lord, we pray and we ask first and foremost, Lord, that we would put everything that's distracting us away. Lord, would you set us free to worship you? Would you set us free to sit here in your presence and just enjoy and return everything that you brought? Lord, as we offer ourselves as living sacrifices in this moment, Lord, we pray and we ask that we would be, Lord, encouraged, that we would be strengthened, that, Father, you would be glorified. The mission that you call your church to be on, empower us. Holy Spirit, we pray and we ask and give ourselves completely to you, to your will, and to whatever you would have done this day. We praise you, Jesus. It's all for your glory, and it's in your name, the name above all names, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. All right, we're gonna have a quick video. Not a whole lot of announcements. Just I want to just thank the men for having an awesome barbecue and not saving me anything. Hopefully you guys all got signed up for your Bible study and stuff like that. And so if you have not signed up, men, if you haven't signed up yet, we have a couple of books going. We have one that is The Misinterpretation of Scripture. It's got a longer title than that. We have that Burkhardt's going to be teaching. And then we have The Measure of a Man study that we're going to have a few groups of that. And so we'll have a few teachers going through that. I have not been through the misunderstanding or the misinterpretation of Scripture, but it looks really good. I know Measure of a Man is really good. We've been through it multiple times, and it's a great one. If you've never gone through that, it's just about what a godly man is, and it's just a great study. I know it is. There's some men in here. Talk to some men who've gone through it. That study has changed their lives, and so please just get signed up for that. We got plenty of books. We got all of that stuff, and so please just make sure you get signed up for that, and just join the fellowship that we have, the different fellowship that we have. Ladies, I heard that even you guys got some of the food too, and so I just want to thank you for enjoying the food that I didn't get to have. And ladies, ladies, on Wednesday night, we have a group that the women meet in here, and so please, husbands, wives, men, women, just come and join these groups on Wednesday. It's a little more like a small group than Thursday is. Thursday is a Bible study where we come together, but Wednesday is where you're going to be kind of in a smaller, more intimate setting. So please just join us. I'm the pastor, so I'm like, join us for everything. If the doors are open, be in here, you know what I mean? And it's not, I just want to share this. It's not because I want you to check boxes off. It's because it's when we come together that we get more of what Christ has for us. This is the gathering together. This is the fellowship of believers. And so with that, that's one of the reasons we're here. Amen? All right. Amen. Cool. All right. So show that video, please.
Who can joyfully, successfully live with sin? Let me repeat. Never in my life have I met a real Christian who can sin successfully without grief, without pain. One of the assurance that you are a child of God is when you commit sin, you feel awful. You know why you feel awful? Because God's Spirit is in your life. The day you stop feeling awful, I'm scared of you. Perhaps you don't have the Holy Spirit. Whom the Lord loves, he what? Discipline. I've never seen a real Christian
thank you.
should be called children of God, and that is what we are.
Thank you.
then we will give some baptism certificates after that. If someone's out, you can't get up there. You need a microphone. You're loud, but you ain't that loud. You need a microphone. Well, you need a microphone for those who are live streaming to be able to hear you.
Good morning. So my testimony is a very recent happening that occurred in my life, but I'm going to take you back where everything started. So at retreat last year, ladies retreat is fabulous, so if you haven't signed up, sign up. little PR there. So we are going through the lesson, and I asked one of the leaders, well, what if a person is in this state of just depression with the Lord, not walking with him, not really doing much of anything? And then I go, okay, wait a minute. I am that person. And I apologize to everybody because I give such a facade of walking with the Lord and all of these things that are said. And I broke down, and most of you who know me know that I don't pray. I cry and break down very often. But he broke me. He broke me. That would not have happened without retreat. But where God is so good that it wasn't just me that he needed to break. There were multiple women there that were walking the same path as I was on, and we needed to do something about it. A couple of those women came up to me afterwards and they said, Pat, you lead a Bible study for us so we can get back where we need to be with the Lord. I said, sure, I can do that. So we set a time. We actually, one of the women that were at the retreat asked another friend who was also in need. And I knew that there was somebody else. So there was four other women, plus myself and Sherry, who was kind of co-leading with me. And we started this Bible study. And it was deeper, the book Deeper, that we were also doing in women's study. And that's what we needed. We needed to get deeper with him so that our relationship would be on fire. So we got going on that. And then all of a sudden, things started going awry in my life. My next door neighbor posted something on the local website that was pretty inflammatory and so wrong. And I was so concerned that I brought it to Pastor. He happened to be upstairs and I popped upstairs. He read it and he's, your pastor has a sense of humor. Okay. He started laughing. This thing was like degrading to us. It had to do that I hacked his computer. I'd gone in and set up security cameras in his house. And he started laughing and I just kind of sat there and he goes, Pat, you don't even have the ability to do this. How could he even question that you would do that? And I said, I know. So there's a little concern there. Some time went on and I had a friend over and we were working on something and we needed to open the blinds in this side room that we were working on. And lo and behold, we have a broken window. And I went out and looked and here's two rocks on the ground coming directly over from the neighbor's fence. So I'm going, okay, this is really not so good. So we just put in a police report. We let things go. Some time passed, and all of a sudden, we were in there working in this room again, and we heard this, like, little explosion. And we both looked at one another, and we said, what was that? We thought it was just a door slamming. My husband came in. And I said, oh, it was just the door. So he came in and he broke another window like that. The gas in between the windows had exploded and the window broke. Praise God that it was only the outside one that broke, not the inside one. So in my stupidity, I asked my friend, will you come with me next door? And so I walked by, the garage door was just going down. His front door happened to be open. And I stood back as far as I could on the sidewalk, and I yelled in, why did did you break another window? And then he came out just irate. And he said, well, why did you call me at 1:30 in the morning and tell me I was such and such? And you're calling my parents and friends. And I'm like, I don't have a parent's phone number. I don't have a friend's phone number. I don't know what you're talking about. I just want to let you know that we're filing another police report. And he goes, well, good, because I've got the FBI looking into you and everybody else, and I've made all these reports. And I go, okay, they're not going to find anything anyhow, but that's all right. So, and that one, I didn't know how far he was going to go. So fear came in. And so my friend said, you know what, Pat, you should put your concern on the women's prayer chain. And I said, no, it's okay. See, because I'm kind of tough and I kind of shoulder things myself. I do rely on the Lord, but I guess when Pastor talks about once in a while, I do kind of want to control things a little bit. But I know who's in control. So I came to Bible study that night, and Rosemary sitting next to me says, Pat, how are you and Mary doing? And I kind of looked at her with a look on my face, and I said, we're fine. And she goes, no, about what's happening. And I said, Sherry put it on the prayer chain, didn't she? Yes. And so what occurred at that time when discussion went on, and our wonderful pastor's wife, who's one of the leaders of the Bible study, she goes, Pat, let me refer you, old age here. No, I got to be careful. I just can't get my glasses on. It's going to happen in just a minute. I got it. Thank you. Okay, she says, James 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that in the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to men graciously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That night changed my whole perspective of what was going on. And it changed my husband's perspective as well, because when I came home from Bible study that night, he was so angry with that second broken window. I was fearful. But I said, women's Bible study, which is so fabulous in the community that we have of women, the love that we have for one another, that I shared that with him, and we talked about it that night, and it changed his outlook on the whole situation too. In fact, a lot of you don't know my husband because he's very quiet. He came up to Jasmine Sunday after church. Now, Jasmine only gets a hi, how are you, every once in a while, or a nod, okay? And he came up and he said, thank you so much for sharing James with my wife and I. It has so made a difference. So the community, the church, is so valuable in your growing of your relationship. You can't do it on your own. We're a family. We come together. We come together when things are going good. We come together when things are going bad. That's not where the story ended. So as we went on, and this usually about 2 months in between, another incident occurred, and he damaged our RV, did another report, but each time my prayer was always, and the prayer of the women that I asked for in Bible study, is pray for my neighbor, that he would come back to or come to the Lord, get off of drugs and alcohol, because that's the only thing, that's the only thing that is going to get him straightened out and to realize what he is doing. Well, after that, that second window, he did put a couple of windows against our fence so that we could put it in. And he actually came over and apologized because he said it was the first time he heard voices, and those voices scared him. So he said he was going to go to AA and all that, and it lasted about 6 weeks. Then the police came over the house. You having trouble with your neighbor? Maybe just a little, and found out that he had come off of the program and he was at it again. So we're just going on and trusting God, because you know what? Those trials is what grows us. If you never go through trials, you're just going to skate along. And your relationship is going to be savoir faire. You know, it's not going to be a whole lot. But when he gets a hold of you in a trial, boy. Okay. So, another incident happened. But what happened that impacted my husband and I so much? He came in one morning, was quickly shutting the windows in the bedroom because I was still in bed. And I tried to go back to sleep. It wasn't going to happen. I got up about 10 minutes later, and I heard this big engine noise outside. And he goes, and I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Danny," who is, because I want you to pray for him, okay, our neighbor, his house was on fire. And so nobody was hurt. Damage is going to take a while to repair. But my first thought was, he's going to blame us. My second thought was, "Lord, is this how you're going to take care of the situation?" And I'm going, "Ooh, I don't know that I wanted that severity, but if that's the way what it takes, then fine." But then my next thought was, and this is where the relationship with the Lord has so increased, that it was, we've got an RV and we've got a second bedroom. I went to my husband and I said, "We have the RV and a second bedroom. We need to find if he needs some place to sleep tonight." I went over to my sister's house, who lives in between us, because I was afraid to, I didn't know his state of mind. And if he was in the wrong state of mind, he would just go off on me. And so I went in and talked to my sister, and she goes, "I'll go out and talk with you," because he was sitting on the stoop. Well, he had just gone into the house, and he came out, and we said, "Danny, how are you doing?" And we both gave him a hug, and he goes, "I don't know what's going to happen." And I said, "If you need a place to stay, we have some place you can stay." That was not me. That was the Holy Spirit and God working within me. He is an amazing God, totally amazing, because you never know what he's going to do with you and for you, and how you can then minister. I had talked to him a couple of times about the Lord. He had had a partner who had passed about a year and a half ago, and so his life had been just plummeting out. And I know that that was a lot of it, but I couldn't figure out why it was just us. I did figure it out, and figured out because the Lord had gotten a hold of me in retreat. He had to start a Bible study. Satan said, "I don't want to have anything to do with this. Nope, I don't want anything to do with this." A couple of months later, I got back into children's ministry, and I'm doing Bible study on Thursday nights with the kids. I had bucked the Lord for many years in that, because I had been with children for so long, but he brought me back to that, and Satan says, "Fine, I'm going to derail you from all of those ministries. I'm going to make you ineffective." But guess what? It didn't work. It didn't work. Because I saw those trials
were going to persevere in me. My faith was going to be grown, and that's exactly what happened. But there's one more part. Danny was over last week checking out the house. Now, remember, I thought I had about a year reprieve before we know, because we don't know if he's fixed up the house, come back. And I said, so how's it going? He says, oh, bad days. And I said, yeah. And I said, how long is it going to take the house? Oh, a long time. And I said, is your mom going to sell it? Because it's mom's house. Don't know yet. It's going to be my decision, and the house is going to look nicer inside than it was before. So, I don't know. But in the meantime, I might bring in a trailer and live in the trailer right next to our fence. And I'm going, oh, okay. So I ministered some more, and I says, the only way that you're going to get through this is with the Lord to help you. You need to talk to the Lord. What, for guidance and direction? And I said, yeah, because if you'd relied on him all along, you would have seen the light at the end of that tunnel. And then you would be able to get your life back together. So I started to walk away, and I said, you know what? There's a lot of ghosts in that house. Maybe it'll be a good idea for you to sell that house. Have a good day. And so as I was walking, I said, bring it on, Lord. If you have more trials for me, I am ready, because you're behind me and you're going to help us get it through it. Thank you very much.
God is good. Amen. Way to bring... There's so many things. You know, when the Bible says, pray for your enemies. A lot of times what the Bible means is pray for who you think is your enemy. Right? Because with all that adversity, it looks like there was an enemy. But God had a plan and has a plan. And so the adversity and everything that issue brought, I mean, look how much closer she grew to the Lord in all of that, to where she would offer, quote unquote, an enemy a place to sleep in the same thing he was trying to destroy. Amen? All right. Praise be to God. Baptism certificates. Joseph, come on up. Come on up. You just look right here, okay? Larry Riley, come on up. Angela Riley, come on up. Gregory Hebert, am I saying that right? Hebert? Huh? Leslie, come on up. You're welcome. And Stefan, come on up. All right, so we have two, Chastity and Juliet also. We have certificates for them, but they have moved out of state, and so we'll be sending their certificates to them. But these are our last baptisms right here, so just give the Lord a round of applause. Amen? All right. Make sure, as we share testimony, make sure that in our fellowship time you guys ask them about what God's doing in their life since they've been baptized. Amen? All right, have a seat. All right, kids, you're dismissed. Head on back to Children's Church.